Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope everyone is having themselves a great morning, and thank you for tuning in to Lock It Off on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com, and please join me anytime, every time, this time of the week, early in the morning, where you can get some good knowledge of your NFL football. You guys can always reach out to me directly on any one of my social handles on Twitter, Locker_Report, or 2B Sports, Instagram, Locker Report 100, all small caps, Facebook, LockReport.com, or you can simply shoot me an email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. All right, a good packed show for today. I hope everyone is safe with their families. They made all their trips to work and to and fro very safe, where you guys can be able to set yourselves up for a great weekend. And this weekend, we know with football, it is week 5. Yeah, I can't believe it. The first quarter of the NFL season, 2019 season, is over. There was a lot of things that happened the first quarter of the NFL. Everything in regards to the part of the NFL that I focus on the most at all times is the NFL Regional Combine platform, where players from small schools, or guys that was unknown talents that came to that platform that actually made it to the NFL and starting to have themselves a solid career. And so that's what this whole show is going to talk about. We're going to talk about what happened last week in regards to players from the NFL Regional Combine, and also preview what's going to happen in week 5. Certain games to watch out for, certain players to watch out for. And then we're going to wrap the show up at the end of the day talking about the outlist. And the outlist is the overlooked unknown talents, small school guys, Division II guys to watch out for going into the 2020 NFL season. So I will finish up talking about my defensive front players, like your defensive tackles, your nose tackles, and your defensive ends. So that's the part I'm going to end the show on today. But first, like to put out some news about, you know, the mainstream part of the NFL, which I will talk about to start each show during the course of the playing season. And although my good guy Lake probably want to beat me down, but I'm gonna start off talking about a player that he's not too crazy about. He likes him, but it's all fun between LA and I. But what to look out for in week 5 of the NFL? Talking about starting off with Tom Brady. Currently, Tom Brady is fourth in the NFL in passing yards with 71,575 yards during his 20-year career. Now, if he is able to surpass 366 yards, which he can very much do against the Washington Redskins this weekend, but I'm not gonna hold my breath on it. But if he was to throw over 366 yards on Sunday, he will surpass Hall of Famer Brett Favre and future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning for the second most passing yards in NFL history. So he can pass two legends in one game. Now, he still have a long way to go, to catch the number one quarterback of all time as far as in passing yards, and that's Drew Brees, who will have about close to 3,000 yards more than what he has now. And the way how Drew Brees is playing, hopefully he'll return back real soon, that number is going to increase. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get well over 80,000 by the time he finishes his career. So that's what's going on as far as this weekend, as far as dealing with, you know, that guy, Tom Brady. Now, as far as fast starts, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes will lead the NFL in passing yards right now with 15-10, and Matt Ryan, who leads the NFC with 1325 in passing yards. They have passed at least 300 yards in each of the team's first four games. Now, if Mahomes was to throw at least 300 yards on Sunday against the Colts, he would join Hall of Famers Kurt Warner and Steve Young, as well as Peyton Manning, as the only players in NFL history to pass for at least 300 yards in each of the team's first five games to start the season. So Patrick Mahomes is really, right now at a young age, his third year, second year as a full-time player, putting his name inside the record books. So this is going to be something special to watch Sunday night when they play for the Colts. So if you guys like me, you'll probably be pulling for him to get over 300 yards just to get in that class with some guys that he's on a verge. And I can see he's a Hall of Famer right now, but he's on a verge of being in that same topic with those players. All right. So that's a little start, certain things to watch out for this weekend with our football players that who we support and love to see on the field and play. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Baxter News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. Everyone jump right into that part right now. Last week for the NFL was really exciting, especially for the platform, the RC platform, because it really opened some doors last week, some players, and one of the players in particular, Mr. Trevor Davis. Trevor Davis came through the NFL Regional Combine platform in 2016. Worked him out, I believe it was in New Orleans, for his workout, and he did very well in that workout, clearly. Wound up getting drafted by the Green Bay Packers. And since he'd been with the Green Bay Packers, they primarily used him as a return man and sparingly used him on the field as a wide receiver. One of his big attractions in his skill set is his speed. He has elite speed, runs a 4.3, and he has great vision. When he was in college, it was one of the things that showed off the charts that he has great vision. And so he was used sparingly with Green Bay. He did catch a touchdown pass from Brett Favre in his rookie season when they played against the Atlanta Falcons. I believe that was in week nine of that season. But a week ago, he was released by the Packers, and the Oakland Raiders picked him up right away. And so when he was there, that week when he was there practicing, him and J.J. Nelson, the other wide receiver for the Raiders, he's just as fast guys, but excuse me. But Nelson has been with the Raiders for a long time, since Gruden been there, and the trust factor with Nelson and the coaching staff was already set. Davis was brought in to be the extra speed guy that can possibly contribute to the team, but J.J. is their guy, their speedster. But during the course leading up to the game in week four, that's when Nelson was a healthy scratch. He was, he wasn't active for that game. And so that's when Davis stepped in. Now, in practice, the first course of the week, Davis is pretty much in the playbook, pretty much had vanilla plays for him, or pretty much had to follow what Nelson was doing that week. So that was great. That's normal when you have a new guy that comes in on the team, especially somewhat in the beginning part of the season, although it's still the beginning. But it's normal, how everything is pretty much kept easy for him so they can get adjusted with the team and also the playbook. And so with Nelson not being able to play, they just put Davis in a situation where he was able to go out on the field. And so with that happening, Davis was able to get some shine, get some burn. He did not catch no pass, but he did have one play that was very significant for the Raiders, as he took pretty much a jet sweep, a play that was designed for Nelson, for 60 yards for a touchdown. So his debut in a tough game, I would say, a game when he played against the Colts where they was really jumped out on the Colts to really show that they were serious and it was coming in. Well, all teams are serious, so I ain't gonna say that. That was kind of foolish on my end. But the Raiders wanted to make a statement that, hey, in light of what happened with Antonio Brown, in light of that dark cloud that's over the silver and black, how they in that rebuilding mode, they just wanted to start out fresh, start out fast against a team they felt as though they could take advantage of some things, and that's what the Raiders did. So gave the ball to Davis. He had a jet sweep that went for 60 yards up the field, and that was late in the fall, midway through the first quarter. So Davis had shown to the Raiders organization and Gruden that, okay, this young man can be trusted. We can open some things up for him. And so this week, going to week five, which I will touch on later on the show, you really see that they decided that, okay, we have something special here. So look forward to seeing Trevor Davis used a lot more in Oakland than when he was used when he was with the Green Bay Packers, that's for sure. So it's really happy to see him get there. Now, speaking of Chiefs, we talked about the Chiefs of Patty Mahomes, but the center, Austin Ridder, came from the NFL Regional Combine platform, and he was drafted by the Washington Redskins back in 2015. And he was almost sort of a journeyman, but he really made his impression with the Chiefs last year. And so this year he is now that starting center, which calls for a lot of responsibility. A lot of times people think, football fans think, that the quarterback is the smartest guy in the field. Oftentimes it's really your center on your offensive lineman because they have to pick up on certain things and be the extra set of eyes for that quarterback. But in week four, he had a heads-up play, so to speak, with helping out one of their running backs. Now, we know that the offensive line is supposed to create blocking lanes and pass for that running back to get through, supposed to be like clear for him. But in this game, he actually, instead of blocking for him, he actually hit him, so to speak. So that was interesting. With about 23 seconds left in the game, if you saw that game, you saw how that game went, all the way to the end, to the wire. But with 23 seconds left in that game, the running back, Darrell Williams, was trying to take the ball up the middle when they was facing second and goal from the one-yard line. And so Williams took the ball to the middle and got stuffed, got nailed, got stood up, and he was ready to fall down. But Ridder, when he saw that Williams was falling down, he came right behind Williams and hit him right in the back. And when he hit him in the back, that pushed him right into the end zone. So that was a big-time assist that he had created for his running back. It was really cool. So when he was falling backwards, hit the ground, heads-up play by from Austin Ridder, recognizing that his running back was going to fall, and he had a shot, a split-second decision to be able to push the running back in across the goal line, and that pretty much was the game-winning touchdown. So good shot, good call for one of the offensive linemen that came through the process. Also in that game for the Lions, wide receiver Melvin Hall, who was with pretty much with the Atlanta Falcons for the last couple of years, who got released, but the Lions picked him up. He had himself a solid game in that game when he had two receptions for 47 yards, but he did have one huge play late in the fourth quarter when he caught a ball, quarter pass deep down left side of the field for 34 yards. So that was a great game there. Chicago Bears, we all know about Khalil Mack, and we know about their elite defense. But in the midst of that elite defense is a couple of players, one of them in particular, Roy Robinson-Harris, who is a part of that dynamic elite defense. He's a defensive end, number 95. He tormented Kirk Cousins for the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings all last week as he racked up 1.5 sacks in that game. One of the sacks he actually finished off for Khalil Mack when Khalil Mack was near him, but they gave that a half a sack. But he was in his grill the entire game, didn't let up. And the defensive tackle, Abdul Anderson, who I'm really excited about, he had his first NFL tackle after being on the practice squad for majority of last season. He got some playing time, and he got his first NFL tackle in that game. Quentin Dunbar for the Washington Redskins had two interceptions against the New York Giants, and that's a player who the Washington Redskins definitely need in their backfield to produce, because especially when they're having their struggles on the offense side of the ball. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL starts tomorrow or today. What we're going to do, I'll take a quick break, quick pause, come back, preview week 5, and then we're going to wrap up the rest of the outlets. So stay tuned.
You know, before Boost, our phone bill was obscene. So we switched to Boost and got lines for the whole family with unlimited gigs for a much more family-friendly price. It's nice to have a phone bill that doesn't require parental controls.
Your family deserves better. Get 4 lines for only $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to 4 free Samsung J7 perks with 6 months of Hulu, where you can stream all the shows everyone is talking about. All on the super reliable and super fast nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of Locker-Report.com. Anytime you guys want to reach out to me, do my social network handles. You can always go to Twitter at Locker_Report or 2B Sports. Instagram, LockerReport100, all small caps. Facebook, LockerReport.com. Or you can shoot me an email at BarryBarnes@locker-report.com. And make sure you guys check out this site if you want to see some solid content dealing with the NFL that you will not hear anywhere else. Just to, if you, especially if you are a fan of the game and you consider yourself a student in the game, to get up on some of the stuff that is not talked about with some players, to get yourself familiar with as you continue to watch football and be ahead of the game. When you hear commentators mention players who they never heard of, but you can be right on top of it. And make sure you guys always check us out, even tune in at the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear all the programming, everywhere from Sandy Secrets, you know, the Dr. Larry Show, the Dawson Files, and then also you hear LA Bachelor, which I'm coming on Thursday nights, where we cover everything from sports, as you know, religion, entertainment, politics, you name it, anything dealing with social injustice, anything dealing with the social networks, period. Make sure you guys tune in to the Bachelor News Radio Network. Okay? Now, we talked about, I just got finished reviewing what happened in week 4. Now, week 5 is going to be very interesting because week 5 pretty much centers around one particular game, although there are a lot of games to talk about. But the one that stands out the most is the game that's going to be played in London between the Chicago Bears and the Oakland Raiders. Now, we know that ultimately this is the revenge game. This is the game that people want to see Khalil Mack go off on the Raiders for the way how the organization treated him and how they traded him away to the Bears. But that was last year. Khalil Mack is fully acclimated with the Bears. The Raiders are looking forward to what their organization is moving forward as they have a new stadium next year, as they looking to build on their franchise's history. But in that game, that's going to be the main thing to watch out for. But, however, on the outside part of that to watch out for, let me know the Raiders are going to game plan heavily to keep Khalil Mack off their quarterback, Derek Carr. But in that game, you have to watch out for the guy I talked about in the last segment, talked about Robinson Harris, the defensive end. He's third on the team in sacks. They can move him around even sometimes to the defensive tackle because he's very versatile on that defensive line. And he caused a lot of pressure up the middle. And then the truth, I'll be told that when you have a guy like Khalil Mack who's benefiting from that type of pressure up the middle, that will force a quarterback to think twice and try to scramble. And they try to scramble, oftentimes the quarterback will run into Khalil Mack or he'll run them down. So Robinson Harris definitely going to play a major, major role in this game. And also Adula Anderson, the young player I had mentioned, got his first NFL tackle last week, who actually played early in the game. He will be in this game a lot more than last week because now he understands the system. But when they go up against on the offensive line, there's an offensive lineman named Denzel Good, who came from Mars Hill University Division II school that was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts in 2015, was released, let go last year, and became a part of the Raiders organization. And he's there. So now he's going to have to attend with everybody on the defensive line, but he definitely will go up against a couple of I would say, go up against a couple of NFL regional combine pioneers like himself. And then you're going to have Trevor Davis, who scored last week for the Raiders. He's going to be in that game plan for sure. So watch out for number 11 for the Oakland Raiders. And on the defense side of the ball, the Oakland Raiders, they have a guy named Benson Merriway, who actually leads their team in sacks. Knowing that Mitch Trubisky has had himself a shoulder injury, left shoulder injury, who is a little more mobile, he's not playing. So Chase Daniels, the backup, is going to be there. And he's not as mobile as Trubisky, but it will create opportunities for Ben to be disruptive on their on his end for the Raiders. So this game is going to be loaded on both sides of the ball with some NFL regional combine pioneers. So I'm really excited about that game. And then when you go to the Washington Redskins, not expect them to beat the Patriots, but I'm expecting a good output from two guys from the NFL regional combine, Quentin Dunbar, who had two picks last week, and rookie linebacker Cole McCombs. Looking forward to seeing him have himself a decent game in that matchup. Now, just ready to jump over and close out my outlets. Overlook unknown talents, some guys to watch out for heading into next year from small schools, primarily a lot from the defense, from the Division II platform. So they are talented guys from the Division II that's in the NFL. Last year there was a total of 83 players. So that's something to definitely account for as far as football talent, how football talent can be found anywhere, long as the parties that be are really truly looking for them. And on the defensive front, one of the guys that jumps out with me from Bryant University, Thomas Wright. Thomas Wright is 6'3", 250 pounds. He was considered last year's All-ECAC first-team selection. Now, this player is very calculated, plays fast, comes off the snap very quick. He's fast himself, agile, have control and balance, shed blockers very well, uses his hand. He has solid uses of his hands. He's very consistent, powerful, and he finished last year with 45 tackles, including 11 sacks and 17.5 stops for losses. And he also forced three forced fumbles. So he's definitely a wrecking crew for Bryant University. Maurice Jackson from Richmond University, 6'3", 279 pounds. He was considered, he was actually started this season, the preseason, as a defensive player of the year for his conference, in the CAA. He was also considered an Associated Press last year as a part of the All-American third team. Now, he has a high motor, very tough. He's infectious, basically meaning that with his energy that he brings on the field, you can't help but be fired up because he's always fired up. He's quick off the snap. He's a finisher. Has balance and control, good feet, strong hands, and he finished last year with 46 tackles, including 10 sacks and 15 stops for losses, and forced four fumbles last season. Then we have another guy named Del Lorenzo from Columbia, 6'2", 245 pounds, fires off the ball, good leverage, very strong. He also has good hand usage and footwork. And the reason why I talk about the hand usage is because you're going to use your hands a lot, and you got to be able to shed those blockers off to get to the ball carrier or quarterback. He's very highly skilled. He's smart. And he finished last year with 36 tackles, including 8 sacks and 10.5 stops for losses. Christian Tate from Georgetown, 6 foot, 295 pounds. He was considered last year's All-Patriot League's first teamer. He was also this year's preseason first team for the Patriot League. For his size, he has elite speed. Very quick off the snap. He himself has good footwork, uses his hands very well, and for his size, has great balance. For his size and his strength, He do command double teams, and he do not take a play off. He's extremely athletic and agile. Last year, he finished with 54 tackles, including 10 sacks and 16.5 stops for losses. Mason Bennett from North Dakota, this guy is huge, 6'4", 285 pounds. He's pretty much a mismatch against any blocking. I mean, he's a mismatch for anyone to try to block him, especially if you're a running back. He'll pretty much just toss him to the side. He has strong hands, uses his hands very well, have solid speed off the edge, great leverage, and plus he's very savvy. He finished last year with 42 tackles, including 9 sacks and 15 stops for losses. We had talked about this man early in the year. We had Coach Sims from Bethune-Cookman, one of his players, defensive end, Marquise Ford, 6'4", 265 pounds. He was a MEAC All-First Team defensive player last year. He's very fluent in his movement. He covers a lot of space. Solid hand usage. He has decent speed. He flies off the edge, so you have a quick first step. Good balance and control. Have good length. Very intense. Strong, and he's a finisher. He finished last season with 42 tackles, including 8.5 sacks and 10.5 stops for losses. Probably my favorite player from the defensive front, breaking his game down, Shaheem Williams. From Notre Dame, Ohio, 6'3", 260 pounds, first team All-American. If I can wrap this one man up with one word, I would say that he's a freak. And I put that in capital letters. You can check that out at locker-sport.com. Let's click on the icon that says the outlist and pull up the defensive players for the preseason to watch out for 2020. You'll see it. Had to put him there from watching a lot of his videos. This kid is a freak. Has a high motor, very intense. Great speed and technique, strong, athletic, agile. He have an incredible leaping ability for his size, very balanced control, and he demands attention. He gets to the quarterback, good leverage, very explosive. He finished last year with 68 tackles. 49 of those were solo. Had 24.5 stops for losses, including 20 sacks. Forced 4 fumbles, had 2 pass defenses, and on special teams, he did get a block punt. So this kid is all over the place. I just see a star written all over him. So Shaheem Williams from Notre Dame, Ohio, you're on the right path, son. You're on the right path. And nearing the end, we have this young man? Donna Andre Tillman from Indiana, Pennsylvania. 6'4", 265 pounds. He's a two-time PSAP West selection. He was also last year's All-Super Regional first-team selection, who was quick on the snap, have good inside leverage and good inside technique, very instinctive, has control, good size, a good first step for size, very smart, fundamentally sound, and have incredible leaping ability. Last year, he finished with 62 tackles, 14.5 stops for losses and 12.5 sacks with 2 forced fumbles. And then to bring everything home, Jacob Prisman from Wayne State, New England, 6'5", 250 pounds. He was a second teamer on the defense, a second teamer for All-American last year. He's very fiery, intense, strong. He plays with a high motor. Have good leverage, athletic. He's a workhorse across the board and have decent technique inside and out. He finished with 49 tackles, including 16 stops of losses and 10 sacks. You can check this whole list out. Just go to locker-report.com. Check out the whole list if you missed the last couple of shows. And also if you missed the offensive players to watch out for going into 2020. And I will revise this list later on in the year when it will be actually my list hitting into 2020. Thank you guys for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. Make sure you guys check us out every day, and make sure you guys tune in next week. We'll talk some more stuff about the players from the NFL Regional Combine. I may even get into some stuff with officiating. I released my report on the first part, the first quarter part of the officials, pretty much focusing on their good on-field calls. The article is doing very well. I may touch on that next week, depending on who I may have on the show. But make sure you tune in as we talk about more players, getting your guys familiar with some stars for tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes. You can always reach me directly on any one of my social handles on Twitter, Locker_Report, or 2B Sports, Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, on Facebook, LockReport.com, or just shoot me a message via email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Everyone stay blessed. Have yourself a good weekend and enjoy week 5. And if you can, go see the Joker. It was really good. Everybody stay blessed. Take it easy now. Goodbye.
Pro Talk, Pro Talk, Pro Talk with the Mighty Ova. The Mighty Ova. Pro Talk.
Welcome to Pro Talk. I'm the Mighty Ova, here again with you again for another installment of the best Pro Talk show on the air, bar none. I'm here with my main man, our NFL analyst and expert, George Radney, the sports editor for the Challenger Community News. How you doing, George?
Hey, how you doing, Pat?
And with us here today, a very special guest, my good friend, former Buffalo Bills standout linebacker, Marlo Perry. Marlo, how you doing?
Man, I am superb, phenomenal, and great.
Oh, wow.
You are always a good brother, man. Man, you were known for your workouts throughout your career. I know this was Legends Weekend. What were your thoughts about Legends Weekend here in Buffalo?
Oh, man. It's one of those things where you're always a little bit cautious about because you're not sure who all they have coming in. And you know you're going to see somebody that you know, but you just don't know if that person throughout years have changed. And when you see certain faces, because you've made the once-in-a-lifetime experiences with them, I can read in body language from terms of, man, they're having a great time. They're enjoying themselves right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're reminiscing of some memories, and I want to be a part of it. Or either just like, man, we need to go someplace else. Some is easily that you can read when you bonded with someone, experiences that have never happened again.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much violence language that you can pick up. Not only that, they picking it up on you.
Right.
And when you come with open arms and you smile, it's just like, man, I've been thinking about you for I don't know how long. I apologize for not picking up the phone. I'm sorry for being in your city, in your state, in your vicinity, and I didn't make the effort to call, to reach out, to whatever. And when you see them, and it's like, man, don't even worry about all that. How your kids doing? How your mother doing?
Yeah, right.
Man, I tell you, that's when you know the type of bond is still mutual, when they know your kids' names, they know their birthdays, they know your mayor, your mother, they know other particulars that you never gave out.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was it like stepping back on that field with all those people there knowing it was another big game? And you've played against the New England Patriots many times. You knew it was a big game Sunday.
Yeah, it's different. It's not as much adrenaline pumped to my body. I enjoyed, I really focused on the linebackers. I even took video and pictures of them. And, man, I not as if I never liked any linebacking crew. Man, but I love this linebacker crew, man.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard a long time ago a bunch of things about Tremaine and, of course, Lorenzo. Man, these dudes, Milano, man, these dudes, they playing their behind off,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
If you really had to know behind the scenes how many things means they have to make sure before you can see their athleticism, before they can show their talent, before you know how they can get in on the play, some other stuff they got to check. If you really don't, man, these dudes are so, so cohesive and doing it right and taking care of their bodies. You don't hear nothing about them in the public eye or at certain venues and not doing what's needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when I was on that field and just looked at them warmed up, looking at them gave me a sense of, man, I'm slacking in every aspect of my life as a linebacker. Every aspect of my life,
but
I'm slacking
know,
right
you,
now.
But Marlo, you had the, you know, and I know, everybody talks about the workouts and the nutrition of Marlo Perry back in your time. Maybe you're not doing it today, but when you played, everybody that played with you talks about Marlo Perry and his approach to the game on and off the field. That was a well-known fact that you were no joke when it comes to workouts. And when I used to see you at training camp, you were the easiest exercises, you look like you were giving it your all at all times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of that is this, man. So what a lot of people, I'm going to break a lot of stuff down really quick. So part of it is the evolution of your mind state. And these are goals that you have for once you own a team, right? So even once you are, this is every NFL player mind state, whether they notate it, make it known, or they just, every year they fall into it. Number one is this. You want to be on a 53-man roster, right? You want to be on it. So once you get to that stage, you want every 53-man roster. Don't mean they a starter. Right? Or don't mean they get in or they part of the game plan from week to week. Mm-hmm. Some, they just not. They're not part of the game plan. When a new coaching or a new GM or new ownership or new position coach come in, the priorities as far as them feeling that they're important in it, or even between the 40 and 40-yard line, I might not get out there. Will we in the red zone, I might not get out there. All those aspects going into the possibility of me being on the field.
Right.
So when that happens, you want to be out there more regularly, even from the starter. Like, I mean, I assure you, when it's first down and 10 from your own 20-yard line, it ain't the same personnel as first down and 10 from the opponent's.
Okay.
Territory.
Now, Marlo,
not the same personnel.
Now, Marlo, what did you see in Tremaine Edmonds on Sunday? Matter of fact, that was definitely his best game as a Buffalo Bill, so you were happy to be here to see him. Was he reading his keys, his holes, or where he had to be on each play?
What was that? Who are you talking about? Who?
Tremaine Edmonds, that middle
man,
linebacker.
This dude, to be in his second year, he is taking on the weight of the whole defense from even once he gets his bell rung and just a play calling.
Mm-hmm.
Just even a play calling. Sometimes he gonna hear it and then he got to give it to them. So like every team, everybody gonna look to the sideline and pick up the signal. So he getting in and giving it to them. And then, man, if for a team like the Patriots, he has, for every play that gets into his headphones and into his helmet, they have at least 3 to 6 other checks behind it, according to formation.
Mm-hmm.
At least 3 to 6. And he has to be knowledgeable of that as well as the strong or free safety. They have to be knowledgeable of the things and get the defense lined up from secondary coverages, from the defensive in front of him linemen, as well as the linebackers. So, man, when these guys come out, man, this dude is doing, looking around and standing. Like, when he's zoned in and he got it all done, mm-hmm. that's when you see his hips drop. when he has what the coaches have disseminated towards him, you would see his hips drop and he settled in to the best of his abilities. But they know all this as an opponent, and they're even ready to call something else once he's settled in.
Right.
Marlo,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. I know everybody's impressed with the defense, but you too was on a number one defense. How do you deal with the fact that the defense played lights out and the offense really did not perform, did not take care of the football? How do you guys deal with that in the locker room? Is there ever any type of animosities or any offensive guys? How do they deal with it? Because everybody knew Sunday that the defense performed at a very high level against the world champions, against the very best, against a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame head coach. But the offense didn't do the bare necessities of taking care of the football. And also, I know you were a special teams guy. You take pride in special teams. You don't allow punt blocks, let alone to be blocked in return for a touchdown. Those plays changed the course of a game. How did you see that, and did you have any of those experiences?
And let me start off by saying, you asked me a question, you already know the answer. Man, you're so knowledgeable about so many aspects of things. You asking me a question that you pretty much gonna answer yourself, or you could answer. You just want a first person that's been around and been available and known it, and to say it from my perspective. Number one, when you have a great defense, it's one of those things where every day in practice, you are challenging the offense. I mean, you see where the game has evolved, and it's easier for the offense. It's easier for them because of safety, number one. I'm still would always be biased. I get it, but I love it. The preservation, but it's easier for them as the years go along. So in practices, you're telling them some of their issues when statistically it doesn't come out, when it doesn't read out properly, when turnovers in it are involved. And good defenses also, we pick out when we done drop the ball to penalize us because they come around so rarely. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to special teams, it's inexcusable to have one of those. Unexcusable, because they made the game safer. They've taken special teams issues for them to be pivotal. They made the field goals is a bigger issue, but in terms of the punting and kickoffs, man, they have made sure the safety of the player is the utmost concern, and looking at holding, different things like that on those plays, they're more magnified. So to have not only a box punt, but also for a touchdown, it hurts. But let me tell your whole audience something from me, just only for me. I appreciate this loss so much because I would rather have a close loss right now. And when we go down there in Foxborough and the next time we play them, it will be a different story, to the point if they came here and they won hands down, or even if we won, hands down we won. here last Sunday, you better be assured it ain't going to be the same type of ball game when we go that way.
Exactly.
So this is something I done said 2 weeks ago. I appreciate and understand this loss. Be assured the Bills are in a good position, all that stuff. I just don't hope we digress when we go to play the Titans because their record is different.
Right.
Because
right.
the momentum is not there, or God's not there for the Music City Miracle, no longer there.
Right. How you feel about
down there?
How you feel about that, Barlow? Bill, anytime you the Titans' names come up, or especially when the Bills go to play the Titans in Tennessee, I know your mind goes right back to that Saturday afternoon in 1999.
At one point in time, it did. It's no longer the case. I mean, at one point in time, it did to the point of, and I'll honestly, I still haven't watched the game in its complete totality. And at one point in time, I still did not have wholesome feelings to the player John Runyon.
Yeah,
but I'm past all that now. Matter of fact, I even try to watch, I think his son playing at Michigan right now, offensive lineman, over Sunday. It was on a holiday game, maybe ABC it was on. So I'm past that point, but it's about evolving as a person and understanding that you might, you probably wanted to make sure I wasn't involved in the play, but didn't know the magnitude of what you did developed to my hardship, you know? And that can happen at any time. It can happen with music closing the door behind somebody and they're breaking their nose and they're going into the scepter and upper membrane and
right.
other issues, you know? So I'm past that point in my life right now, but at one point in time I was not, and I thank God so much. I have been blessed, and nobody can tell I've had the type of injuries I've had or heart wear in my body, and I'm still getting blessed every day for having on that same type of mindset.
Let me ask you this, Marlo. George and myself went into the Giants, went into the Patriots locker room after the game. And what did they tell us about that pump block? They said that they scouted it in the Giants game.
Yeah, Matthew Slater said he saw it on film. They watched the Bills, watched how they were lining up, and they said, this is something here that I think we can take advantage of on Sunday. And they worked practice.
Right.
So when the play was called, Slater said he looked over at J.C. He said, man, this is your time to be a star, J.C.
Right.
Make it happen. And he was fortunate enough to get in there and block it.
Now, Marlo, they scouted a deficiency in the punt formation of the Buffalo Bills from 2 games ago. And they said if they do it again, they did not cover the gunners. If they did it again, the coaches had told Matthew Slater, who was the captain of their special teams, to call the punt block. And the Bills lined up in that deficient lineup again, left the gunners open. How does that happen at the pro level?
Because when you are detailed, great coaching, not only do you look at the previous 2 seasons, when you think you got something, a nuance or something different, you look at their seasons. I'm not just talking about 3 or 4 games. You're looking at last season. You're looking at the season before that. Not only that, man, you're looking at the special teams coordinator where he has been his previous years.
Well, that's the problem. Marlo, you know that's the problem,
I'm
right?
I'm not finished.
You know that's the problem,
the
right? I'm just saying.
You got
a special team coordinator that's not experienced. He has
well,
no
I don't,
experience.
I can't say anything and never about him because I don't know enough information. But you look at special teams coordinators and what they migrate to and what they have changed, the same way defensive coordinators look at and offensive coordinators look at and field and possession specialists look at, from red zone to 40 to 40 yard line to kickoff. You look at it ain't even an individual doing it. Man, it's not so computer generated. Look at first and down from all over the field. You look at second and 10. You look at third and 10. You look at every play from third and 1, third and 3 to 5. You look at all that stuff, and you have a tendency to pick up things because we're all creatures of habit. Unless you're getting some stuff computer jaded and you want it to be as random as possible, and if it come out random as possible, you're going to look like a dumb coach.
So is that a factor, Marlo, that Buffalo hired? You played for one of the best.
I can't say that because I don't know enough about the current guy's position.
Well, I can tell you he has no NFL experience as a special team coach. And it came out Sunday. He didn't adjust. And like you said, at the pro level, you guys are looking for that kind of stuff. You were the captain of the special teams. So I know
you look at everything. So you look at a first year running back. You look at a first year quarterback. You look at a first year, especially on that offensive line. Oh, man, we haven't seen a first-year quarterback or offensive lineman. You got to give them everything, even if it doesn't work. Even if it doesn't work, we know it's going to bother them.
Right.
I'm not speaking specifically towards him, but like I said, I don't know him, don't know his past. Even though he might be a first-year, does not mean he is not a wizard or great at it. That is bad, and it's not something I'm saying right now that I'm being overcritical. Everybody in the NFL would say that. Not only did blocking a punt is one thing, something else getting a touchdown, but it all goes together, and it'll never not be tied together.
Marlo, a quick question for you. Why is it that it's hard for the NFL teams to put together quality offensive lines nowadays? It seems like all the stars of the game are on defense, and there's very few stars on offense nowadays. And most teams seem to have trouble with their offensive line. Like on Sunday, Buffalo and New England both have trouble with their offensive lines.
So partly of this reason is they've always gone unappreciative because the starlight, the spotlight, the quickest guys to get to any Hall of Fame notoriety are the individuals that put up stats, that put up yardage, that put up passing, that put up touchdowns. So those are the four positions of quarterback, running back, fullback, well, five, wide receiver, and tight end. Mm-hmm. In the history, it's never been thought of guys that they first first engage with, and then they don't be a factor on the play. No different from every single down. They hands on somebody, their helmet is button somebody, touching somebody, their helmet's face mask, and their arms. Every single play. Even when they get up and just throw the little swing quick out, they still got to go there first.
Right.
So when that happens over and over again, and the highlighted aspect of the game is scoring, breaking records, you don't even hear about, really, until a guy is made it a whole bunch of other times, who's leading the NFL with the defensive stuff. And I get it. It's all for the promotion of the betterment and statistics and what they call it, not analytics, but they call it, I forget the name, but what they call it in terms of the algorithms when it comes to the algorithms from online inquiries, from the Instagram, from the tweets, from the Snapchats, the touchdowns, from the
Marlo, we're running out of time, Marlo. We're down to our last 3 minutes. I wanted to get your take on Sunday's matchup. Let's do a couple of games. Los Angeles.
Just one. I'm going to do one at a time. I don't want to do a couple.
All right.
You think one week at a time. You know that.
All right. Los Angeles at Seattle, real quick. Who you picking?
LA at Seattle.
Seattle? George?
Yeah, I like
Seattle.
And then I want. You've got a big time matchup. Tampa surprised some people and played well, beat the Rams. They're at New Orleans. What do you think about that game?
New Orleans.
And the return to the Music City Miracle. I know you've gotten over it, but I was there. I know that's a game that if you played in, I think you guys go to the Super Bowl because you were the captain of the special teams. You were injured.
And as a cousin, there's a whole lot of stuff behind me being the captain. But I hope we don't, as a team, retract behind that. Whatever status Josh is in, I hope we do retract. I still pick us. They got a couple issues, and I hope they look at it as a rebounding aspect and forget the past to try to keep on the proper path. Now, let me back up to something really, really quick, really, really fast.
You got to make it real quick, Marlo. We're down to the last minute.
I'm going to run through it. So you want to go from a 53-man roster to a starter, to a starter, to a Pro Bowl caliber, from a Pro Bowl caliber to an All-Pro. And that only takes stats and consistency throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
So every guy that made a Pro Bowl 1 year, they want to keep making it for 3 to 5 years. And nobody careers last, very few, not nobody, very few careers last as long as you wish them, as long as you dream them, as long as you put down on paper that you wanted them to last. I'm done.
All right, Marlo. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
My pleasure.
That's Marlo Perry, former Buffalo Bills standout linebacker with us here on Pro Talk. George, we're on our way down to Nashville.
Yes, indeed.
Real
Can't
quick, what do you think? Other than Uncle Bud's catfish.
Uncle Bud's catfish. Oh, man, I got catfish on my mind right now. But, hey, well, I'll take care of that once I get to Nashville. And I think the Bills will be in for a rough contest. Tennessee is much more physical than the Bills. I have Tennessee winning this game 17-16.
I think Marlo hit it on the head. I agree with you. I've got the Bills not winning this game. I think they're going to have a bad output once again on the offensive side. I'm not happy with the offense. They're not taking care of the football. We'll talk more about that Sunday. Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba. We'll see you next week.
Pro Talk, Pro Talk, Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba. The Mighty Oba, Pro Talk.
projections on what makes us feel good now. I just wanna make you feel good now.
Feel good now.